Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. He is also the author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today, as usual, although the good martini is a little bit different than our normal fare. That's good that this is being talked about, not good that this is happening. Frank Luntz, most people know, is a man who is a wordsmith. Words that work is kind of his mantra. He is good at messaging for Republican candidates around the country. He was on Media Buzz with Howard Kurtz, and they had just done a focus group session on the way that the media works. And a lot of people talked about how they don't trust certain outlets and they do trust certain other outlets. And Frank Luntz says this is why.
The problem is partially with the consumers themselves. We don't watch news to inform us anymore. We watch news to affirm us. And so I ask people, what news network do you watch? And I can guess with about 90% accuracy whether they voted for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. We need a system. We need a situation where people are willing to be challenged, where their beliefs are willing to be challenged. Because the problem, Howie, is that now we don't even agree on the same facts.
So, Jim, just to clarify, we still encourage folks to listen to Radio America and read National Review. But it's really important to get a broad scope of things to not only learn as many facts as you can, but understand where different arguments are coming from.
Yeah, and I think that those of us who find ourselves in ideological media, and quite proudly, and I think there's necessarily anything wrong with it. In fact, I think it's probably more honest to, you know, let your listeners and readers and viewers know where you're coming from so they can take that into their assessment of things. But ultimately, you got to tell people the way things are. And you cannot airbrush out the aspects of life that you don't like or the parts that are inconvenient to your narrative. And I don't think we do that. It will not surprise people. I think that the left is worse at this than the right is. But there are circumstances in which reality does not reaffirm the way folks on the right necessarily want to see the world. We want to, for example, we want to believe that Republicans are better than Democrats. And, you know, not too far from where you and I are down in Richmond, Bob McDonald's trial is doing a really nice job of letting you know there are bad people in our party, too. And I think there are some institutions on the right that have covered the McDonald trial and the revelations of his behavior in office. But there are other ones that, you know, it doesn't reaffirm the narrative that Republicans are the good guys and Democrats are the bad guys. And so that storyline just kind of dwindles away. On a National Review today, Brent Bozell has a little story about how, look, how frequently do you see a scandal story? And if it's a Republican, that's mentioned in the first paragraph. And if they're a Democrat, if they remember to mention it, it's in paragraph 13 or someplace way down there. Yeah, we talked about having different facts. If you watch MSNBC, you'd very much easily conclude that something some no-name state lawmaker said, or remember the rodeo clown that had the Obama mask, and that was front page coverage in the Washington Post a couple of days later. You know, that was the single, you know, one of the most important stories around, because you had to know how terrible the people in the heartland are. It's hard to believe that some of these institutions aren't aware of this and recognizing that, you know, I don't mind, you know, news having a viewpoint as long as you acknowledge the contrary evidence, as long as you acknowledge that, you know, when your guys screw up and the bad guys get something right. And I think that the phenomenon that Luntz is describing is, you know, a pretty prevalent one. Unfortunately, you can't make people watch things that they don't want to watch. Otherwise, I would, you know, have a enormously high web traffic and fantastic ratings every time I'm on Fox and things like that. Probably the simplest answer is to put out the best product you can and hope people will have the good sense to gravitate towards it. And for people to kind of realize that if you spend enough time in your cocoon, you may suddenly find yourself wondering, you know, realizing that you're not, you know, getting the whole story. Probably one of the best examples of this came from our colleague Mark Stein, is at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Remember, it was right after people went back, it was Jim Treacher who went back to Obama's autobiography and found, you remember his unusual dining choice, Greg?
Oh, yes, that would be dog.
That would be dog, yes. And he mentioned he'd eaten a dog in his boyhood days in Indonesia. This led to the Twitter hashtag, Obama ate a dog. And everyone was kind of chuckling about this. Everyone in right media, you know, conservative media, was kind of chuckling about this. I don't think it's much of a good reason to vote against the guy. But it certainly does, you know, give dog owners a bit of pause. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe he actually did that. The president then goes out and starts making jokes about this. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and sometimes you eat the dog, yada, yada, yada. And there were folks in the audience, and the White House correspondent had no idea why he was joking about eating dog, because this had only come across in the conservative media, and the liberal media, deeming it inconvenient to the Obama reelection narrative, decided it would not need to be doing that. By the way, that is the ASPCA calling me to let me know how I should not be joking about people eating dog. Anyway, on that happy note, hopefully people, you know, explore enough of the other side so they get well informed about what's going on, because otherwise people can walk around oblivious and think that, you know, for example, Obama's foreign policy is working just fine.
Speaking of things that aren't working well policy-wise, let's head to Martini number two now. And Jim, you and I both know the United States Conference of Mayors is a bastion of conservatism, not. And but they have a new study out that definitely shoots some holes in the president's narrative about where the economy is right now. A study released Monday by the United States Conference of Mayors shows that wages in the U.S. have dropped 23% since Obama's election in 2008. The report looked at the wages of jobs lost during the 2008 recession and compared them to wages paid in the same sectors today. It found that the jobs lost paid an average of $61,637 annually, but were replaced by positions earning only $41,171 annually. According to the study, this wage gap represents about $93 billion in lost wages. Under a similar analysis conducted by the Conference of Mayors during the 2001-2002 recession, the wage gap was only 12% compared to the current 23%, meaning the wage gap has nearly doubled from one recession to the next. And this analysis of the report coming from Red Alert Politics. So, Jim, even though we've officially gotten back the number of jobs we had prior to the recession, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, and just kind of to put another log on the fire of this bonfire of the vanity of the contention that we're having this wonderful economy. Jim Panikoukas over at AEI, a contributor at National Review, mentioned that they fully expect that GDP number that was so great last quarter at 4% probably going to be revised down. Some think, you know, 3.8, some think 3.6. Generally a pretty good number, but again, not this, you know, gargantuan, fantastic number that had everybody doing cartwheels. Greg, we strongly suspect that when the economy is really booming, don't you think you should feel it?
Yes.
I don't necessarily mean like, you know, tingling sensation that's, you know, generally a sign that you're having some sort of health issue or you're Chris Matthews and you're listening to Obama, but more of a sense of like you just see wage growth and, you know, a sense of greater buying, new businesses opening up, you know, all kinds of little house prices going up. All kinds of little indicators of more economic activity going on, people feeling like and acting like they're doing better than they were. And those little kind of psychological indicators just aren't around, maybe purchases of luxury goods and things like that. So, you know, for a really couple of years now, the administration has been saying, no, things are getting better, things are getting better. And most Americans probably feel like they're treading water, even if they managed to get their jobs back after the dawn of the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. They're probably working fewer hours and or making, you know, the wages aren't as good as they were before. I think the metaphor someone described was salmon swimming upstream, you know, that ultimately you feel like there's a strong, you know, headwinds, as the administration used to describe for the economy. Well, a lot of Americans feel like they've got personal headwinds blowing in their direction and they're not getting ahead.
On to the crazy martini now. And Jim, we've chronicled in a number of ways the problems the Democrats are having holding on to their Senate seat in Montana. Max Baucus left to become the ambassador of China. He wasn't going to run for re-election anyway. Then they appointed the lieutenant governor, John Walsh, to the seat. He stepped down last week from the campaign after this plagiarism scandal. And no other Democrat in Montana seems to want to take on what seems to be a badly sinking ship at this point, to the point that an online draft effort is underway in Montana to draft actor Jeff Bridges, known for his role as the dude in the cult classic The Big Lebowski, to replace Walsh on the ballot in November. A Facebook page, Jeff Bridges for Montana U.S. Senator, had nearly 4,000 likes as of Tuesday morning. It bills itself as the Montana Citizens Movement to draft Jeff Bridges to run for the Montana U.S. Senate seat. However, on the Howard Stern Show, which is always where people go to talk about serious political matters, he says, I look down and I see this thing, Jeff Bridges for Senator. And I said, what? There's a group of people that have called in and want me to run for Senator of Montana, like 1,000 people. And I said, Sue? Bridges said. She looks at me and says, don't even think about it. So sorry, Montana Democrats, you don't even get Jeff Bridges on the ballot.
Now, here's the thing. He always seemed like a decent guy. He's very active in trying to fight child hunger and good causes like that. I suppose we may think that he is kind of up to speed and technologically savvy to handle the challenges of the 21st century. He was sucked into the computer in Tron and obviously has experience in the electronic world. I haven't heard him really lay out all of his thoughts on gun control, but I'm guessing from True Grit, he believes in the right to defense that. And let's face it, indisputably, some might say, oh, he's an actor. Is he really, you know, the kind of guy you want handling politics? But you know, he did serve as president back in the 2000 film The Contender. So all of that, you look at it, but I think ultimately the reason I could not trust him for as a, this U.S. Senate is what he did to Tony Stark, the formation of the Ironmonger suit, his rampage. Thankfully, Agent Coulson and Iron Man were able to stop that. So overall, I find it very troubling. Thought that he just doesn't have this or the right. He has a wide range of experience, but some very disturbing behavior in his past. So he's probably best where he belongs. I would also point out that anyone who appeared in R.I.P.D. just should not be in the U.S. Senate. Jim Garrity and I approve this perusal of IMDb.
Jim, good job. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.